Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/ghost. That's ziprecruiter.com/ghost, G-H-O-S-T, ziprecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was it a haunted childhood or just an anxious imagination brought on by a major move to a new house? Pretending not to see the spirits proves to be an ineffective exercise in keeping them away. And a boyfriend and girlfriend from the same neighborhood discover they've both been haunted by the same spirits since childhood.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to keep this thing on the air, support the show and get all the extras. That's the best part of it for you. You get all the extra bonus episodes, all 250 some of those, brand new ones every single week. As well as advanced episodes of the show, become an EPP, an extra podcast person on our website at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories for all of those extras. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
The dog's like bumping my microphone. I think he like smells something on the ground.
Oh.
He was over. I was afraid he was going to eat the mic cord a minute ago, but I think he found a piece of jerky.
Probably.
Just having a little snack. Mm-hmm. That's all. So, yeah, interesting ghost stories in store for us today. Live show coming up August 11th at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs. Are you prepared to enter the doors of the building? And
yeah, I've been in there before.
I know. They, I'm interested in hearing what they've discovered in with all the bottles of stuff that they've unearthed from behind the building over the last couple of months or so.
Yeah, they've made, my understanding is they've made an enclosure where they found them so people can go and see them, but now they're, you know, protected because they kind of dug them up and I don't think they wanted to move them too much.
Can you sample them? Can you sample the magic potion?
No.
The life-changing potion. It's a whole new chapter in that story that we haven't really heard a whole lot about yet, that we haven't even talked about on the other show when I interviewed Keith. So that should be an interesting conversation when we talk to him on August 11th. If you want tickets for that, realghoststoriesonline.com to get those. Let's go over here to our first story of the day. Because let me start by saying that I was very young when I experienced my first encounter with the paranormal. I was about 8 at the time of this story. I'm about to tell you. I'm just going to say beforehand that I'm not using names or anything of the sort. Don't want to give anyone's privacy away. Oh, they are using names. My family and I just moved back from out of state. We're living in an old farmhouse, probably over 100 years old. I found it kind of cool, but very creepy at the same time. Everything started probably after the first week or so of living there. My parents, my uncle, and I were in the basement checking out the space. It was pretty gross and quite small. I had an eerie feeling that something was watching us. I felt so cold. I was standing at the bottom of the stairs. And my parents and uncle looked around. My eyes kept wandering to this little dark area across the room from me, until I spotted this disfigured creature in the corner with what appeared to be white eyes. It was tilting its head, staring at me. I was scared and confused, and I realized my parents are walking up the stairs, trying to get my attention. I looked away from the creature and tried to hurry up the stairs. I noticed something out of the corner of my eye. There was this person standing next to me, except its eyes were black as night and very large. Its hair, also jet black, looked as if it was soaked, dangling way past its shoulders. Its mouth was agape and bloody. At that point, I needed to get out of there. I booked it up the stairs. I slammed and locked the door behind me. I was panting so hard, my breathing was quick but heavy. As a kid, I wasn't sure what to make of it, what it all was. All I knew is that I was scared. A few weeks later, I was woken up by this strange feeling like I was being shot. I tried not to scream because my two younger sisters and I shared a room. I felt eyes on me, like they're piercing through me from above. I looked up and saw piercing yellow eyes. I gasped out, got up, ran to the door. I watched it move from the ceiling, but my sister, not the youngest, it pointed to her and grinned. I heard it speak in a very demented voice, saying it was going to take over her. It then devilishly looked over to her. As young as I was, I understood how God was so powerful, so I prayed and prayed hard. It screeched so loud I didn't know what it did or what it was doing. It then vanished. A few more weeks went by. It took this tiny office room at the top of the stairs. It was a few feet from my sister's room. I felt presences in my new room, but never saw anything. I heard my name being whispered right outside my bedroom door. I once felt eyes on me coming from over by my door, but saw nothing. Then one night I got so bad that I looked over to my door and saw the wet-haired, bloody-mouthed thing that I saw in the basement. It was peeking at me, mouth so agape and muttering something so muffled and incoherent. I tried to scream, but I couldn't. I threw my blanket over my head and stayed to like that till morning. The following nights, for the next month, I slept with a flashlight on. I think the next part was a month and a half after the wet being incident. I heard steps coming from the stairs. I called out for Mom and Dad, and I called to see if it was maybe my younger brother. He did not answer. I looked at my alarm clock, and it read 3:06 a.m. I looked back at my door and saw a silhouette of this being with large horns and long arms and legs. I could tell it was smiling at me demonically as it snarled and laughed at me. But what I didn't notice right away was the bright red eyes. I quietly prayed to God. That's when it hoisted angrily and told me that if I didn't stop, it would harm me. I looked at him with anger, his anger-filled eyes, and I said the magic words, "You can't harm me," and I invoked the name of the Lord. My parents heard me scream and ran up the stairs. My dad ran into my room and saw me crying, looking at the wall next to my room with my angered expression on my face. My mom checked on my sisters and came to my room. My parents talked to me about it, but I couldn't manage to get one word out. They hugged me tightly, and as I looked past at my door, I saw that face with red eyes and horns hovering outside the window past my door, smiling and licking its lips.
I think this is definitely something more on the dark side than just a ghost messing with kids.
It's your typical childhood monster in the closet story, right?
No, I don't think so.
A little darker?
I think it's a lot darker, yeah.
Yeah, something like this, it's interesting how the eyes are always present no matter what situation she seems to be finding herself in with meeting whatever these things are. The eyes are always seeming to be the thing that stand out most. Mm-hmm. Obviously something very unwelcoming in that situation. I'd be curious to hear what happens next. Other than you looked and there it was. It makes for a great story, but I'd wonder to hear if this continued on throughout childhood or if that was nearly the end of it. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Get Real Ghost Stories online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to the next letter. It says, greetings from... All right, back to the stories in just a second. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Zip Recruiter. If you are in the position of hiring individuals, you know that it is not the easiest task. One would think from a distance, oh, yes, this would be great. There's lots of people ready and qualified for every job. Not true. Not true. Hiring used to be hard. Yes. It doesn't have to be that way. Hiring can now be simple when you use ZipRecruiter. It's like putting a cheat code into a video game is how I kind of look at it. You know, back at like Nintendo, up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, B, A, select, start, that sort of thing. Did I say that one right? Anyway, ZipRecruiter makes it absolutely easy. In fact, you can find out for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ghost and start this process. It's so simple. Here's what it does. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, okay? It doesn't stop there. So number one, you don't have to sit there and like go to 100 websites and spend 3 days posting. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes and then finds people with the right experience that you're looking for and invites them to apply for your job. So it actively, it's like an octopus. It's out there. It's grabbing these people and sucking them in. Kind of. It's not really an octopus. It's more like a spider. Anyway, as applicants come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates that you may have never even have seen. Yes. So you never miss a great match. In fact, ZipRecruiter, they're so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through their site within the first day. Talk about time efficiency. And if you're in business, you know how important that is. Right now, you guys, my listeners, can try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to this exclusive web address. You ready? ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. 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 ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Iowa. Okay, so I had an experience that I think about a lot and have finally worked up the nerve to share. Just to clarify, by think about a lot, I mean that the memory randomly barges into my head as I try my very best to push it away, because who knows if the thing that I encountered can be invited back just by thinking about it. Okay, that sounds crazy. So let me expound a bit. I'm pretty open in general regarding the paranormal and the idea that there is far, far more to existence than any of us could possibly realize with regard to lost souls, the paranormal, and the veil beyond that which our eyes can see and our minds can comprehend. But it's not like I want to invite what I saw to come back. So I usually push the memory away just in case thoughts can be some type of creepy summoning instrument. Here's what happened. I love to thrift store shop, personally. I found that the dirtier and less organized the store is, the more likely I am to find treasures at a reasonable price. I love taking things home and washing them up, especially glassware. I'm a sucker for carnival glass. Fortunately for me, there are several secondhand and thrift stores in town that fit the bill. One day, it would have been about 4 years ago, I visited one of these stores. I used to like going to this particular place because all the profits went to save animals. So, hey, great. I love animals. I found a couple of small items to buy, and I was waiting in line to pay behind one other person. I remember standing there and casually glancing to my left, and there was an old man standing to my left, maybe 3 feet away, wearing a red and black checkered flannel shirt, the kind that's mostly red, but the checked squares are black. I clearly remember the shirt because that type of flannel is eye-catching, and there weren't many people shopping. I seem to remember it was raining, but it may or may not have been. Anyway, you know how it goes, standing in line and just glancing at the other people in line, maybe offering up a bit of friendly chat while you wait. I remember glancing left a second time, maybe 10 seconds later, but honestly, it was probably more like 5 to 7 seconds. And the man was gone. The red flannel checked shirt was also gone. So it's not like I mistook a mannequin for a person or anything. The place was pretty big, and he would have had to really book it to have disappeared so fast, but I really didn't think much of it. I remember kind of absently noticing he was gone, thinking nothing more of it, and I paid for my items, and I drove home. Later that night, I decided to clean my apartment. I lived in a second-floor apartment with a balcony that had those long, cheap blinds, which I had opened maybe for a foot, just enough to let the last of the daylight in, but not so much that everyone in the world saw into my place. So I was vacuuming my easy chair and happened to glare at the patio siding glass door, and there it was. It was standing very still in the space where I had the blinds open, maybe 2 inches away from the glass. So it was right there, and it was wearing the red and black flannel shirt. And it was staring in at me, not moving, just standing there looking into my apartment. The thing is, it didn't have any eyes. It only had 2 huge black holes where there should have been eyes, and it was very pale. That's all I saw with my one glance. The checkered shirt and the no eyes, just staring into my patio door. Immediately, somehow, my brain kicked into overdrive, and I knew that it was extremely important that I pretend that I didn't see it and that I was convincing. I don't even think I hesitated in my vacuuming, and I did not glance at it again. I finished with my chair and casually walked over and closed the blinds, and it wasn't there anymore. Apparently, it saw me notice it in the store and followed me home, which I guess means it either was something that was teleporting, or worse, way, way so much worse, it rode home in my car with me. But then apparently, it was not allowed into the apartment. I don't know. I only saw it the one time. So I think and hope that it just visited the one time, but who knows? Anyway, I don't go to that particular thrift store anymore. Thank you for giving me a place to share this, and have a good one.
Okay, did she say she brought home something, a chair?
She brought home some items from the thrift store. I don't know exactly what it was. I don't recall what it was, but she did check out and get some stuff.
That would be my first thing that I would be starting to consider was, is it something that's attached to those items?
Okay.
That something was special to that man, and he wanted to make sure it went to a good home, I guess.
It's interesting, when you show up to check on it, why do you have no eyes? Why do you get that appearance?
I don't know.
Maybe you get to choose. It's like when you pick an avatar. Is that, you know, like on the Wii, where you're mm-hmm. like, ooh, pick how you're going to look. I wonder if you get to do that when you're dead. It's like, how do you want to appear to other people now?
I don't know.
Like, I want the no eyes. It's interesting. Thrift stores, I haven't really thought of that much. I've thought of antique stores quite frequently being haunted. What about you and thrift stores?
Yeah, same thing. I put them together because thrift stores are just when people don't know the value of the item and they donate it.
Well, and also, if you think about it, thrift stores almost more frequently, I would guess, would have more recently deceased people's things than necessarily an antique store.
Mm-hmm.
Because thrift stores are where a lot of, you know, well, grandma died and whatever everybody didn't want goes to the thrift store.
Exactly.
So it's, you know, she kicked it last week and now all of her stuff's at the Goodwill. Whereas, you know, antique stores like, well, this was somebody's grandma's who died 30 years ago. It's a little more of a process.
Yeah.
To get into the antique store.
I think it may not be true, but in my mind with antiques, I always associate it. If something was loved enough to end up at an antique store,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that has a good chance of having something attached to it. But if something wasn't loved enough to end up at a thrift store, something could still be very much attached to it because it's the only thing, you know, that ghost is the only person that cared about those items.
Yeah, because you're talking about who loved it more. I mean, you're talking about the whoever's putting it there, not even the person who would have loved the item
because
mm-hmm. they're gone. Mm-hmm. So I could see almost thrift stores sometimes being more having an angry spirit, like, how dare you put this at the thrift store?
Yeah.
At least take this to the antique mart.
Like, I hung on to something I found in a frame once. Until recently.
Yeah, we just
got rid of it because it was falling apart. And I did it out of guilt because somebody had painted this and it was dated 1910. And I was like, okay, I don't know what to do with it. So out of guilt, I just hung on to it. Now, you know, after being in the basement for years, it was starting to, you know, disintegrate.
Yeah. And it was a picture.
Yeah, it was something. And you remember when we did the frame wall in your office? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was one of those frames that I bought, had this random picture in it. And it wasn't even the top picture. It was like sandwiched between two pieces of cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
It was felt that was painted.
Yeah.
And
it was for somebody's wedding in 1910.
It was. And so out of guilt, we hung on to it because we're like, what do we do with this? You know, and
I was totally, when I saw that the other day and we decided, look, this is, we're not doing anything with this.
No.
This is, it's not sellable. It's just, it was like a personal item
yeah.
of someone's. It ran through my mind. I had discretion. There's so many things.
You were going to pull it out
and put it
back in the basement just to freak me out.
No, I wasn't going to do that. But there's so many things I'm trying to say at one time because that's how my mind works. But I had discretion,
mm-hmm.
which is...
At first.
Exactly. I was totally going to say to you, when you were about to get rid of it, going, you know, this is where things start haunting when you get rid of the things that they love. And just to fuck with you a little bit.
Yeah.
But then I thought, no, then you may actually say, just put it back.
I would.
Yeah. But I didn't. And I had no reason to say that other than I just was going to fuck with you.
I know.
I didn't have like a feeling or anything. You know, it was just like, oh, I say this to her. I'm going to make her paranoid.
Yeah. Thanks.
But I didn't.
I was just really waiting for you to pull that out of the go pile and put it back in the house somewhere like it's coming back on its own.
Just randomly. Oh, I know someone who loves jokes like that where you randomly return things.
I do too.
Things.
Yeah. So.
Well, there you go. There you go. I think it's gone. Is it gone?
I believe it is gone.
Okay. No. I did not rescue it.
Okay.
So if it does show up, I'm going to be freaked out myself.
Okay.
So just saying. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next thing it says to start off my story. My name is Melissa. I'm 23 years old. I live in California. I live in the Bay Area. And my story is from about 6 years ago. I'm resubmitting this story. I forgot to add a few details. When I was in the fourth grade, my family and I, my parents and older brother and older sister, and I moved a city over from Pittsburgh to Anatoch. When I was younger, I don't think I noticed anything in this house, or at least nothing I can remember. My story is from when I was a teenager. We no longer live in this house, so I can talk about the weird things that went on. It's nothing super crazy, I don't think. I think when I started to become aware of feeling watched in this house, I was about 13. This was also around the time my mother had gotten pregnant with my little brother. Something about being alone in the house was scary. I hated going to the bathroom at night by myself or even walking to the kitchen or garage to get water. I'd always ask my sister to come with me at night because she was a night owl and always was awake. Things would fall when you would walk by them, things that shouldn't have fallen just by walking by. Like one time I walked past the bathroom at night and I heard something fall in the shower. I always shit my pants. Once my brother was born and he was a toddler, he had a bunch of toys and would light up and make noise with those toys. You know, like fire trucks, ambulances that you could find at any toy store. The ones that would honk and make noise, but also light up. Well, these very toys were scattered on the living room floor and sometimes left on the kitchen table because, you know, kids are messy and leave toys everywhere. Whenever, and I can't stress this enough, whenever you would walk by them, they would go off by themselves. You know, obviously, I get very frightened by this, but maybe it was me being in denial or me just telling myself this to calm myself down. And these were toys, just motion detected. Several of the toys made noise would go off. So imagine walking past the living room at night to go to the garage to get a bottle of water, and these toys randomly go off without being touched. Lights lighting up. I'd quickly rush to get a bottle and run to my room after. This house always made me feel uneasy, especially one part of the house. The front living room of this house was a living room where all the nice furniture was, and we weren't allowed to be in it. It was more just for looks when people would come over. So if you're walking from the bedrooms to the kitchen, you can see a glimpse of the front room from it, and especially at night, it's pitch black. would ever want to look into it in fear I was being watched. Same goes for my closet doors. There are types of doors where you pull towards you to open, and when they close, there was a crack between the middle, and I always felt like something was watching me through that, so I'd always leave the doors open so I could see inside of them. I know this is all over the place, but I'm getting to the point. The point is, these little things were in the house, and it wasn't until we moved I actually understood why. Around this age, I had my first boyfriend, and I remember telling him about this, and he also used to live in this neighborhood when he was younger. He told me, "Oh, you too?" He said that the whole neighborhood was haunted. I can't get into specifics about this house because I don't remember, but I no longer speak to him. The next thing I'm about to say is what makes everything add up, at least I think so. Back in the 90s, in a different house in the neighborhood, a man took his two very young daughters hostage in their home. Police and everything. He then shoots and kills them, and then himself. I've even attached an article. When I found this out, I quickly assumed that these two little girls were the ones playing with my little brother's toys and making them go off. It's very sad to think about how someone could possibly do something so monstrous. This is also around the time where maybe once or twice I woke up in the middle of the night crying. I remember hearing a voice in my head to grab a knife and to kill one of my parents. And I remember just getting up from my room and sitting in the front of the room. I was so scared and just crying and sitting there. I've never told anyone this before, other than recently, my girlfriend, who brought light to this. I never once thought about the father, only the daughters. She said maybe it was a ghost of the father entering my head because he was such an evil man who killed his own kids. Maybe it's nothing to do with that family the way I felt in that house, but it always seemed connected to me. The thing is, those same toys that would go off when walking past them in our new house never made a peep unless being prompted to. I can walk around my current house without feeling scared, which is a relief. Love to hear your thoughts. I've been listening for a while now and just recently became an EPP.
I'm kind of wondering if maybe there's not, something that's there that's making bad things happen. Not so much that it's the ghost of the kids or the dad, but something that was there before them.
So, do you think it's something that's connected with the murder situation?
Hi, Tony.
Oops. Turn that down.
I think something before the murder situation that made the murder situation happen.
Oh, like involved directly with it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Then, tried to get him to kill his parents.
Mm-hmm. When you have things like that, You can't plead that ghosts made you kill your family, but it is very bizarre where you have these same sort of things happening or at least something talking about doing that to someone in that same sort of a setting. It's very bizarre. And then it makes you wonder, well, is this the evil person who killed his family, or was this, like you said, is this something that made that person do that? And everyone assumes that person is evil. But was there something evil that attached to that person initially?
Mm-hmm.
It's the cart before the horse.
It is.
So thank you for sharing that experience with us. And thank you for becoming an EPP of the program. You too can do that. Just go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up. You do a monthly membership there, $5 a month. Or you can sign up for a yearly membership. With a yearly membership, you get a USB drive. That's what we're doing right now. Or you can get a download link for all this content. It's 10 extra hours of content. A bonus EPP episode exclusively for the yearly members. That's there. Also, a special Richard in Chattanooga hour-long special where I go through the content. Originally, what my intention was just to go kind of a retrospective of all the material that we have, that we've aired. And to do that, I had to go back literally to the original call archive where they came from. And in so doing, I discovered, I remember he, on his first several calls, called in multiple times and kept getting disconnected. But he talks for like 7 minutes each time. And I ended up just using the most recent of those, like, for example, three attempts. Just assuming it's going to be the same stuff. He's he got it out this time before he got his phone cut off. But out of curiosity, when I was putting it together, I thought, I'm going to listen to these other two in their entirety because I've never done it. They're different. There's all sorts of pieces of this puzzle that have never been heard. I've never heard them until I did that. You guys obviously haven't heard them unless you've already downloaded the episode. But it's really interesting. It goes into greater detail about the house. There's a lot of pieces of this puzzle, like I said, that that we haven't heard. So it's very interesting. It's all in an hour special. You get to hear never before heard calls. And we just play them back to back. So that's another audio file in that USB drive with a yearly EPP membership. There's also a bunch of my favorite interviews, including several that have not been released yet from the Grave Talks, including an interview with Laura DiDio that's going to be coming out around Halloween, and several others. In total, 10 hours. That's when you sign up for a yearly membership, EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com. I have also, I should note this, because I'm interested to at least hear from him if he's doing okay. Mm-hmm. I have, through my digging, I found his Facebook page.
Okay.
Reached out. This is several weeks now. Nothing.
Yeah.
And it looks like he hasn't posted on it for a very long time. So, you know, a lot of people have given up Facebook too. So
sure.
It could be that. I don't know. I did a search too, because I found his full name. I'm not going to give that out. And I tried to do a search on that through some, you know, search software where you can kind of find people to mm-hmm. reach out and say, hey, how you doing? Nothing works.
Yeah.
No number. It works. Everything. I don't know. I'm just at a total loss. And I thought, oh, great. Once I dug deep enough, maybe I can at least say, hey, nothing. So
I'm not that surprised.
Why?
Because, you know, he ended up during that whole process learning a lot of stuff that he,
yeah,
I think, didn't really want to learn.
Sure.
So maybe he just wants to put that whole thing behind him.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to come on the show or anything. Mm-hmm. All I want to do is just hear, are you doing okay? Mm-hmm. That's all. I mean, so, you know, if he wants to share, sure. I'm not gonna say no to that. But it was just such an abrupt kind of ending to everything that I'd like to know. I guess it's more so I'm hoping, you know, you hope when stories like that, oh, it all turned out good. Mm-hmm. Everybody ended up going to Culver's for hot fudge sundaes and everything's great because the tattoo's been removed and there's just so many dark things of that story.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, that's all an extra there for you on the USB drive. It's a nifty 8 gig one you get when you sign up for the yearly membership, by the way. Wood. It's made of wood, Jerry. Wood.
Okay.
And it's neat. Let's go to caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony, Jenny, Carol, and Sean. It's Sierra from Yuma. I just wanted to reach out because I recently listened to the episode where Carol explains a loved one tasking her to, you know, finish something out for them. And I wanted to share my story. When my grandmother passed away, it was her wishes that my mom put her in the urn that my grandfather was in. Now, I know that sounds a little bit weird, but he was actually spread in the ocean. And so we were able to take an empty urn home. And my grandmother took it and put it away. When the time came, we couldn't find it. She liked to hide things. So I told my mom, you know, don't worry about it, I'll find it. And so I'm sitting here trying to rummage through this home, and I kind of was at my wit's end, and I just sat there and I was just like, you know what, if you want me to find this, help me find it. Where is it at? Because I don't know where. So I'm sitting in the living room, and Tony, kind of how you describe it, it's just like information downloaded. Well, I just knew to go to a picture by the TV stand and move the picture, and lo and behold, that's where the urn was. How I knew where to go, I don't know. Months later, you know, trying to get things in order, needing documents or anything like that, and I can't find it. I've learned to just kind of, you know, ask my grandma, hey, I'm looking for this. Can you please help me find it? And just like that, it's like downloaded onto your brain and you know exactly where to go. No rummaging, no finding. Within seconds, I was able to look for documents and know exactly where they were at. It's kind of overwhelming feeling. I feel like every time that happens, I get like a spine tingling. Maybe it's a coincidence. I don't know, but I know how you feel, Carol. You're not crazy. Well, thank you guys for your time. Have a good day.
I like the birds. I just want to play the birds on a loop.
Okay.
A little bit.
I've never had one of those downloads of information.
No.
Have you?
Not that I can. I mean, like, the best I could say just be like intuition of just like not firm information, but just like I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, I get that too.
That's about it.
Yeah, not the you need to go look in this exact place at mm-hmm. this exact time for this exact thing and it's there, you know?
Yeah, unless it's like something like, oh, I remember where I put that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing where I didn't have a memory of it.
Sure.
Yeah, I've never experienced that. We should totally do Adam's Family-esque style hiding of things like that behind pictures. Let's just carve out places in the wall behind artwork. And then someday people be like, oh, holy shit. Why on earth did you hide a bottle of Metamucil behind a clock? Like, what was that?
Just to make you think.
Just to fuck with you. That's all.
Yeah.
Just random shit.
I don't find joy in hiding things on people, probably because I wouldn't want things hidden on me.
Uh-huh.
So I don't see that being fun.
I can't find stuff that I put in like normal places.
Yeah.
More or less hiding spots. So I'm always lost looking for things. It would not do me good. Although maybe if I had hiding spots, maybe I'd be like, oh, I better go check that all the hiding spots before I go into like the drawers.
Right.
Because I would start putting, oh, this, I need to put this behind a clock. It's like, why? Why are you putting that? You know, but that's what I would do. So I'm like, where's the cat? I don't know. Let's play find the cat. Interesting. Do people still hide things in that sort of a fashion?
I don't know. You mean like hide it for safekeeping kind of stuff?
Yeah. Is that just like an older generation type thing where it was done, you know, just because of a different time and place of where you would store valuable things in I mean, you still do, you know, indiscreet things, safes and things of that nature, but just the kind of like really covert, you know, it's almost haunted house-esque style hiding of things.
I don't know.
I think it'd be fun to have a bookshelf that opens to a secret room. That would be fun too.
We had kind of a hidden place at our house growing up, and it was under the stairs, but it looked like there was a solid wall there,
uh-huh.
But the wall you could move.
Like slide it, or what did you do?
You could pull it out and move it. It was like barn wood,
okay.
And it was kind of on a frame,
uh-huh.
And it would stand up and kind of slide into place.
Oh,
yeah. So my dad would hide stuff back there.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, we had hidey spots in our house on the lake. Yeah, we did.
I want a hidey spot.
We don't have a real good place to do that.
Like, when our storage room would be great for it, but there's a door. But that's where you have to, like, make it look like the drywall. Or,
yeah.
Or we can make the door look like a bookcase.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it'd be great.
Just like a children's novel.
It's like, that's how that works. Why is there a handle on your bookcase? Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That wraps up today's episode of the show. If you like the show, like I said, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. If you have tickets still available for our live show August 11th, get them at realghoststoriesonline.com before they are completely sold out. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. August 11th show live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.